Hello. I'd like to start off by recognizing, thanking Dr. Magdy Salim at LSU Ag Center and Jerry Daigle, State Soil Scientist with Louisiana and NRCS. Funding was through SURL, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Louisiana Army National Guard, NRCS, and LSU Ag Center. Camp Minden is a Louisiana Army National Guard training site located in northwest Louisiana. It's in the western coastal plain, MRA 133B. And what's unique about this area, Anderson et al. And some of the et al.'s, Paul Ayer, Sally Shoup, were there was a review of military vehicle impact literature indicated that a few studies had been conducted in the southeastern United States, so this kind of fit the bill here. Start off, direct impacts of heavy mechanized training, we recognize they wanted to look at it, Minden, were a moderate to severe soil compaction with major damage to existing vegetation. And as a result, they had severely reduced capacity for natural regeneration of site vegetation. So the objectives of the Camp Minden study were to, quote unquote, establish soil compaction thresholds for the Abrams tank with respect to A, soil moisture content at the time of trafficking, and also to look at tank trafficking rate or number of passes. And with this, they'd hope to develop some guidelines that allow Army range managers to kind of determine some appropriate timing and intensity for the tanks to kind of extend the longevity of the training facility under ITAM guidelines. Materials and methods. First off, the soils, they're very common at the site that we set our plots up in are identified as Wrightsville soils. They're fine mixed glossoquelphs, and for what this is worth, at the suborder level, they're aqualphs, so you can imagine they're pretty wet. Mixed mineralogy, fairly uniform, and fine texture. From a classification point, that's from about 40 to 90 centimeters, but we were, our study concentrated on the upper 50 centimeters of the soil, which is classified out as fine silty as opposed to fine, so that's an important aspect. Experimental design we used, we had a 3x3 randomized factorial. We looked at three soil moisture ranges based on volumetric water content and three trafficking rates. The moisture level ranges were less than 20 to 30 and greater than 30% volumetric, and we averaged the upper 50 centimeter moisture content. And traffic rates, we used 3, 6, and 9 passes of the tank in crisscross fashion to get a full footprint on each of the plots, and with 3 replicates. That gave us 9 treatment combinations and 27 experimental plots to look at. Compaction assessment methods we'll talk about today. There were others, but talk about bulk density as a result of tank trafficking, and ultimately soil moisture retention characteristic curves as a result of that compaction, increased bulk density. First off, bulk density. We took 3 replicates, cores at 20 and 50 centimeter depths immediately before and after tank passing to get a pre and post tank bulk density with a 70 centimeter cores. They gave us 12 cores per plot and a total of 324 cores for the bulk density assessment. So compaction criteria, what's good, what's bad? We fell back to the USDA handbook for quote unquote fine silty soils, where they indicate that root restriction initiation occurs about 1.54 grams per cubic centimeter. It's kind of the lower threshold. And a more aggressive, more limiting root extension, limiting at 1.65 grams per cubic centimeter. So these are the criteria that we use to judge. This graph here, you're basically looking at pre and post bulk density at the 20 centimeter depth across all treatment combinations. The thing to take from this is there was a lot of variability at the 20 centimeter depth, as you would expect and anticipate to see. Initial bulk densities were 1.54 there, which is right at that root restriction initiation from the get-go. So these soils were kind of behind the eight ball to start off with. The post bulk densities were 1.61, which is right at, for all of them. That's for all of them. So that is approaching that more limiting, root limiting, extension limiting. Looking at traffic rate, the effect of traffic rates 3, 6, or 9 versus moisture content across the board, we found that regardless of number of passes, 3, 6, or 9, there was ultimately very little difference as a result of number of passes. And there's some indication in much of the literature that about 80% of your compaction occurs in the first pass with very little after that, so that's not surprising to see. What we did see was as a low mean across all number of passes, 1.57, mid 1.61, and the high mean across all was 1.65, so a steadily increasing degree of bulk density at 20 centimeters with increasing soil moisture. A look at the 50 centimeter depth, you'll see that there's a lot less variability here as you might expect at a deeper depth. You've got less fauna root interactions in the soil, so they were a lot less variable to start off with. The mean at 50 centimeter depth was 1.56, not that different from the from up higher, and slightly lower resulting mean depth of 1.59. And at the 50 centimeter depth, again, no effective number of passes. The low moistures were around 1.56, very little difference. The mid and high moisture were both equivalent around 1.59, 1.6. Now on to look at moisture retention characteristics. We wanted to look at how this compaction had affected total pore volume and kind of look at pore size distribution, its effect on these soils. So in 09, we chose a couple of the high moisture 9 tank pass post plots versus a nearby control plot where there'd been no trafficking. We pulled 12 cores at 20 and 50 centimeters from these. We brought wrapped them up, kept them at good field moist content, brought them back to a lab at LSU where we used the ceramic pressure plate method after Klute. The pressure intervals we looked at were from near 0 up to 12 and a half bars, so saturation to 12 and a half bars. This graph, the 20 centimeter, you're looking at a pore size distribution across those applied pressures. The controls are the open bars, and the tank traffic are the dark colored bars with pressure on the x-axis and moisture content on the y. And you can see that at near zero, and near saturation, there's a pretty significant difference in total pore volume or total pore volume, water holding capacity, reduction with the tank traffic soils. This value is roughly 13% reduction in total pore volume water holding capacity, and it also equates to over the top 25 centimeters of the soil about 1.5 centimeter reduction of water holding capacity, which could be pretty significant. But you notice as you reach the higher pressures potentials, you see a significant shift where you get much greater water holding capacity in the smaller pore sizes in the tank traffic. And that's basically 2 and 2 is 4. When you get that compaction, you get a reduction in total pore volume, but you get a shift in distribution to a much higher percentage of small, fine pores. Same thing occurred at the 50 centimeter depth, but you see only about a 3% reduction as opposed to higher 13, but you see that same phenomena, a major shift in pore size distribution towards a much higher relative comparison of small pores. And there's some evidence in the literature that indicates that at deeper soils, even though you get, you may not have significant compaction and total pore shift, you get a reorganization of pore size distribution and a shift towards a lot of finer pores and discontinuity in pores. We wanted to do a bit of curve fitting in one of the standard models, the Van Genuchten. This is a view of the 20 centimeter depth moisture curves, and it's basically the same as the previous curves in essence, but we did the open circles and hash line are the controls measured versus simulated, and the tank traffic, the dark circles and solid line of the tank traffic measured and simulated. And you can see the same following trend. Instead of looking at bars, you're looking at centimeters head of water. It's just another way to look at these. The Van Genuchten water retention function, where say you have theta H at a given moisture content at a given pressure head, you'll have theta R and S, residual and saturated water content, and alpha and N, which are curve shape parameters, the alpha being the air entry, inverse of the air entry, and N being a kind of a representation of the pore size distribution. If you look at the table, at the 20 centimeter depth, yes, at the 20 centimeter depth, the reduction of at saturation and at residual, the air entry value inverse is increased, and the also a decrease in the pore size distribution to take away from these. So in summary, the bulk density, we saw no effect due to number of passes greater than three. And again, Dom noted that 80% occurred in the first pass. So for all passes, you had with increased moisture, you saw higher compaction and a resulting higher bulk density following the trend of low to high, with the high moisture being around 1.65, the more critical root elongation limiting. The soil moisture retention characteristic reduced total porosity and water holding capacity in the tank traffic plots. Again, that 13% reduction in water holding capacity or total pore volume at 20 centimeters, 3 at 50. And again, that translated at the that 1.5 centimeter reduction in total water holding capacity in the upper 25 centimeters, and that overall shift towards smaller pores. That shift towards smaller pores has a lot of environmental implications, reduced hydraulic conductivity, reduced infiltration potential, increase in runoff and erosion. And in these wet soils and wet periods during the winter, you can set up long duration reducing conditions that could have some significant effects. So our recommendations, try not to run, do the tank exercises at less than 20% volumetric basis, and certainly try to avoid running at 30%. But in this area, it's nearly impossible because those soils are wet. So, any questions? Yes.
It's more a comment than a question. Mm-hmm. Any plans to study these same areas to see if there is recovery over time and at what rate? The Forest Service would be really interested in that information.
Right.
Mike, I forgot to mention to you, could you repeat the question so that it gets recorded
Okay.
With your presentation?
Yes.
Because that microphone probably even pick up.
All right. The question is there any plan to do some follow-up on recovery in these sites? And I was told, yes, there is. Whether there's money to actually do so, I do not know. I couldn't tell you. Yes, ma'am.
When you did the test, you may have mentioned this, but when you did the test, was it on an area that's been tracked before?
I did not mention. It was an area that was in woods. They had them in 05, they had them clear the area out with instructions. They laid out the plots inside in the woods, and they were given instructions to clear the trees without making footprints on the plots. Now, you and I, we all know that probably did not happen. So as a result, those initial bulk densities seem to be a little higher. Yes, sir. The question was, with the bulk density did not increase with number of passes, did soil strength? And the answer to that is that we followed up. We had done some penetration resistance, penetrometer work also, and we had done it at those moistures, which is not always great at the low or high moisture, but we did a follow-up where all the plots were wet and followed the same trend line where the 9 pass had some minimal effect, three and six, but 9 did not, but it had a much stronger correlation back to the moisture, the low, mid, the high, but you had some very minimal trafficking effect on soil strength there. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.